the elbow, you know, what is it? The arm bones connected to the neck bone and the
yeah, I don't know.
I don't either. But now, you know, I'm working out a whole song that we're going to come up with that, you know, firewalls connected to the printer.
You're listening to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax, HIPAA help is on the way.
This is Nalia from Georgia Spine and Orthopedic and Talker, and you're listening to Help Me With HIPAA podcast.
Thank you for that intro and welcome again to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs and Security First IT, and joining me as always is Donna Grindle of Cardin. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, David. How's your day?
It's great to finally hear your voice getting back to normal.
I know, and I'm about to go to two more conferences, so we know what'll happen.
Yeah, yeah, you'll come back sounding all scratchy.
You know, and then about the time I start getting better from that, we have the boot camp. So it'll probably be after you get back from Japan before I can talk again.
Yeah, I know. I need to take my stuff so we can record from Japan.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Didn't think about that. Maybe we should. At least a little something, something. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So David will be speaking Japanese.
All I know is konnichiwa.
Okay. All right. Let's we'll get into that. But it'll be exciting to go see your boys over there.
Yeah. So I'm sure I'll get some email from Ray Ribble with tons of Japanese stuff because he's lived there for 20 something years or whatever.
Yeah, well, his wife is Japanese too. That might also
help. That does help. That does help. Yeah. So,
all right. Well, I can't wait to see what useful phrases he shares.
That's what scares me. This is what he says, and then what he tells me it means might be very different.
It is Ray.
It is Ray. So, speaking of things going sideways,
yeah, there you go.
We are going to talk today about supply chain security because it is definitely becoming a regular discussion due to some recent major issues. And yeah. I'm sure, you know, if you're not looking, you don't know these things. And that's why you listen to us, because we are looking. But there's some bad things that's been happening recently. And, you know, I'll go ahead and toot your horn for you. You did predict that this year supply chain would be a problem.
Victory lap early. Woohoo.
Right. So here we are. You know, we're in, what are we in? April. We're in April as we record this. But, you know, we're not even made it through half the year yet, and you're already right.
So, thank you for saying so, David.
Good job. I know you don't hear that at home very often, so.
Neither do you.
I know. But we talk about supply chain, and we talk of, you know, you think about the business associates as being part of your supply chain, but what you don't often think about is their vendors. And this is where a lot of the problems come in that we'll be talking about today when we start talking about these stories of the supply chain failures and how bad things can really get from these vendors.
You have very long chains and you don't know it.
This is true. So don't get married.
Okay.
So, yep. So before we go down that path, though, you did mention the HIPAA boot camp. So yes. This is our last opportunity, last ditch effort. If you want to get in on the HIPAA boot camp for May, then head over to thehippabootcamp.com. As we record this, we are almost out of spots, so you need to jump in, and hopefully we still have some there. If the cart's still open, then we have spots. If it's not, then, oh well, get on the list for the next time.
Yeah, and if you should have tried to sign up on the morning of April 23rd when I made a mistake in the calculations,
yeah,
it was letting everybody in for free.
Yes, it was, and thanks to those people that were sending kind emails, I'm like, look, I appreciate the discount, but something went wrong.
I know. I see it happen before I can fix it. It's happening, you know, multiple times. And I'm like, whoa, Bessie. So anyway, it was a moment. It's why we should have more help.
This is true. This is very true. Got any volunteers out there? Give us a call. If you want to work for free like we do, give us a call.
Yeah. So speaking of.
Speaking of working for free.
There you go.
Do you have any speaking engagements coming up?
Yes, I do. And whoa, wait a minute. Let me, I totally forgot to write those down. I know it's horrifying at the same time, but I have one of the local IT firms, Medicus IT, is having us do a lunch and learn with them, and we're doing a couple of those. One on May the 8th, which, well, too bad this will come out after it, but there is another one afterwards. Shoot us an email if you're interested. I'm going to be talking about patient right to access, and they're going to be talking about end of life for Windows 7 and Server 2008.
You're talking about patients and then end of life, and I'm like, wow.
I know, right? Didn't think about that until just now. Thanks, David. And
like, what kind of IT support do they do again?
It's too bad. You're gone. But then the other cool thing is our friends at Patient Co.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know them. They are doing this thing that is called an e-conference, where, and that's part of, you know, the issues with me is that, you know, once I move on, but this, you pre-record, and so there's, you sign in for the different sessions that are being played throughout the day. And if I had written it down exactly what day in May, then I would be able to share it with you. But it will be posted on our social media. I think it's May the 15th. I think it's when we're at boot camp. I will also be doing a another, what would you call it, conference? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A virtual conference. So it's pretty interesting that I can do two things at once, and that is how I will be paid. Again, the same.
Nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting and yet shocking that you can do two things at once.
Clearly, I have issues with that because we all know that I just mentioned a failure trying to do two things at once.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
speaking of doing two things at once,
yes,
I need the listeners to do two things at once. I need you to go to your social media, look up our podcast, and review us. There you go. Leave us a review. Also, if you're leaving, I think in iTunes, if you leave a 5-star review, put a comment up under it. You know, something like, David's awesome. I don't understand what Donna's even doing on the show. You can do that. But leave us a review. We're trying to ramp those up and get some more of those reviews out there. So any way you can help us with that, we appreciate it.
And that gave me time to look it up. It's May 19th.
That's what my plan was.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, buddy.
All right. Well, before we dive into today's topic, I do want to say that the number of medical practices that falsely think that they are HIPAA compliant is, in fact, staggering. And since effective privacy and security are an ongoing process, not a checklist, we talk about that a lot, at Cardin, they don't just assess your situation and leave you with a report, but they also work with you all along the way. And if you're interested in working with Cardin, give them a call at 678-292-5001 or visit them at cardinhq.com to learn more.
There you go. We've officially had our first ad. Thank you, David.
You're very welcome. I'll send you my bill.
You did well. You did well. Well, let's get down to business.
All right. The business of the supply chain.
I don't think many small businesses especially realize how long their supply chain is. You know, they think, Well, I've hired Security First IT to do my IT.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realize who else they've hired along the way. So give us, you know, what are your top vendors that you're clients are also hiring when they hire you?
Well, you're typically hiring our remote monitoring and management vendor, and then they're hiring other people. So oftentimes we don't even know past that who they're hiring. You're hiring our backup vendor. You're hiring our remote access vendor. So, you know, we can remotely log into your computers. You're hiring our security platform vendors. There's a number of different vendors that we're using, and then, you know, we're connecting them to your machine to provide other services and tools that you need for privacy and security.
Well, and you've got, you know, you use Trello for project management, and you use G Suite for email and collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know where trouble is going to come from. We talk about that all the time. And, you know, and it is that you tell two people, they tell two people kind of thing. What happens when you hire one person is you're really hiring multiple people. When you hire one company, they're relying on others just like you're relying on them. And that's the part where, you know, part of your supply chain is the heating and air vendor, the power company, the water company. All of that is your supply chain, because if you need it to be in business and you don't create it yourself, then, you know, hopefully you're not out there trying to create your own water to run your business. So it is quite complicated. And if you stop and think about that, that's where you really start to see what these stories we're going to tell you about, how they impact other people. And it's a very complex, interconnected relationship we all have with each other. And, you know, you can use LinkedIn, and there's less than 6 degrees of separation, I read somewhere recently, between most people.
Right.
And and it's the vendor connections that we all have. So if you are some of those people who think that the phishing tests we all keep telling you are absolutely essential to your security awareness program, before we get started, let's point out all of these either definitely or almost certainly involved somebody that had technical skills falling for a phishing attempt. So if you think that the, you know, person working in billing or somewhere that really doesn't have technical skills won't fall for them, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing
to make them aware.
Oh, absolutely. And it's amazing that, again, when we talk to people about privacy and security, they still are relying on technology to a fault, and they have this false sense of security that the technology is going to protect them. That's all they need. When you definitely have to spend time educating the users and showing them what to do, what not to do, what to look out for. And it is absolutely the best investment in your security is to train your employees. And the other part of that is, I mean, I'm not a lawyer. I know one. But I would imagine that if I click on something and I've not been trained properly or at all, and then you write me up or fire me, I may have some recourse to say, look, there was a failure to train situation and you had no grounds to do that.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, depth that happens just by ignoring this. And it is absolutely the phishing attacks are what is often involved in the ransomware. The phishing attacks are involved in the email account compromise. The phishing attacks are, I mean, it just keeps going. That's the easiest way in.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they just shoot them out. And when they compromise one of your vendor's email accounts and they send something to you from the vendor's email account, it gets even more complicated.
Yes, it does. And we've talked before about the business email compromise, but this is not compromising you as an individual. This is actually compromising the platform.
Right. So that's our first story, which is a rather embarrassing one. Well, actually, these are all quite embarrassing, but Microsoft had one of their support techs or customer service techs, I don't know, their agents that supported consumer email platforms. So that's Outlook.com, Hotmail.com, and MSN.com. They fell for a phishing attack and gave up their credentials. And yeah. So apparently, and again, this, all of these are, except for the middle one, there's a lot of ambiguity, we'll call it.
Yeah, you think?
As to the details of what's going on. But according to many sources, this went on from January 1st. So we've told you many times about the holidays and the days around the holidays where people fail. January 1st to March 28th. So that's not long, right?
Yeah, that's a while.
No one's emailing things they should at that time, like W-2s. None of those things.
Right in the middle of tax season.
Yeah. Yeah. So what had happened was, oops, they had a security breach, because then these credentials, again, a little bit of confusion about what was actually there. Microsoft's initial data breach notifications said that they could only see, like, essentially, what is the metadata? You know, the subject line and the date and some of those other things, but they couldn't see the content or any attachments. But then again, other sources say they could see everything. And I don't know. There, supposedly somebody interviewed somebody that watched what was happening, meaning they were with the hackers. I don't know. But the bottom line is, it looks like that they could see more than what the initial analysis is showing, or it could be somebody's like, look, we're embarrassing Microsoft and we're going to make it worse. I don't know.
Right.
So at a minimum, they were able to see accounts, their list of email, and how many times we tell people not to put important stuff in the subject line.
Oh, yeah. Wait, not only that, but how many times do we find out or tell business clients to stop using the free email services?
I know. It's just painful to me.
It drives me nuts. I mean, I had an incident not long ago. I think we alluded to it on one of the past podcasts, but the doctor had a free Yahoo account. Mm-hmm. That got breached. And, you know, of course, you know, not the Yahoo's ever been breached, but but his got breached, and he's using this account. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is he was a client for a long time, and at no time did he mention this account. At no time did he discuss this account with us. He just decided to open it one day and kind of keep it a secret. And so he had it for a long time. It drives me nuts.
Yeah. And then he was sending work stuff to that personal account, which is another thing. Oh, I'll just send it to my personal account so I can get to it at home.
Yeah. Well, it boils down to the convenience thing, right? I can get a free Yahoo account, or I can get a free Gmail account, or a free Outlook.com account, and I can just use this at no additional cost. And it's easy to use. I don't have to jump through the security.
And security is not convenient.
No, but and that's a perfect example of how, regardless of the security and technology you have in place, it becomes a people issue. If you circumvent the security, then it's no good.
Right. Because, you know, the reason security is not convenient is it's trying to make it harder for people to get to things.
Right. You also want to make it inconvenient for the bad guys.
Exactly. That's what we always say. So this will still pan out. But here's the thing is that, you know, it's like they used to say nobody lost their job for going with IBM back in the day when you had like three computer vendors.
Right.
You would think that Microsoft, using a Microsoft service, would not be a supply chain security issue in a lot of people's minds. And it's just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're lucky this time that it wasn't Office 365 accounts that got involved, because that's huge. And we just saw articles that, 25% of the spam or phishing got past the basic Microsoft security settings on the Office 365, something like that.
Yeah. It doesn't stop. I think it was 25%. It doesn't stop 25% of the phishing attacks that come through. It just lets them on through.
Yeah. So, you know.
It only takes one.
Yeah. So one. And you got to wonder, how many support agents do you think Microsoft has that work on those consumer accounts? Thousands.
Mm-hmm.
Easily. And granted, it was on a holiday that it seems to have happened. So do you think the top folks were working that day?
No. Nope.
Maybe. But it was probably the new guys, you know, that have just been hired. You know, there's no way for us to know. We'll never know unless, you know, somebody wants to come and tell us all about the insides. But if one person can do that, that's working at a support desk at Microsoft on New Year's Day, when everybody's watching football, recovering from New Year's parties, or in the midst of another one. That all happened to tons of people, and they haven't said how many, but you know it had to have been a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So think about that. That's what we're talking about, supply chain security issues. If you know that Microsoft has that problem, what do you think is happening with, you know, company down the street doing my billing? I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yep. And then when you talk about people like us, MSPs, you know, we have the keys to the kingdom. If somebody who's, you know, if I'm going to attack somebody, I'm going to try to attack an IT provider because they're going to give me access. If I get in, then I'm going to have access to multiple clients.
Which is the perfect segue to the next two. Way to go, awesome. David. Did you plan that?
Everything I do is a plan.
There's been too many times we've been through unplanned situations. So then the next one, you know, this one tells you two things. One is no one is immune. No one. You know, all these folks that talk, we've done an episode before that size doesn't matter. It does not. This whole concept of I'm too small or I don't have or the fact that you are connected to the internet with a running machine is all that matters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we like to tell people that, you know, just because you're connected to the internet means that from a technology standpoint, you live in a high-crime neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so you have to think about it that way. Physically, if you lived in a high-crime neighborhood, you would have, you know, 20 locks on the doors and security systems and baseball bats by the door and all this. But digitally, you forget that and you just leave the doors and windows wide open and then wonder why bad things happen.
I know, right? And, you know, we won't talk about doors open and all that. That goes back to what, episode 2? But
yeah, I just remember what he's talking about. Come on. Okay. Yeah. Listeners, you'll have to find that. It's hilarious. We almost got shut down.
Yeah, right at the beginning. Our internal FCC did not care for my example I used. Okay, so this is a variant, I don't know how you pronounce it, variant. It's actually a U.S. company, and their offices in Israel were hit on April 16th, my birthday, that they were hit with a ransomware attack. Yes. Well, the thing that's interesting is they list themselves as, quote, a global provider of actionable intelligence solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these are folks that do security for a living.
Yeah.
Kind of like us.
This is kind of the, you know, for us, it's like the big black eye you never want to get. You're going out to prospects. You're like, you need to hire us to protect you. And then something like that happens to you and you're like, oh, crap.
I know. Let's talk about reputational things. So here it tells you right away that it doesn't matter who you are. But if you are one of the big bullies on the street trying to protect everybody else and not like the negative bully, it's the protective bully. It does make you more of a target. So you IT firms need to pay attention. You are targets. I mean, they're doing the Department of Homeland Security in the United States and the similar groups in Australia and Britain and, I mean, all over the world are doing sessions trying to get these IT companies to understand they are actively attacking managed service providers.
Yeah. And the downside to it is that the managed service provider space now is really pushing security, which is, it is great in one regard, but the downside to that is managed service providers are moving into a space that they don't know a lot about.
Right.
You know, they don't have the cybersecurity skill sets that the hackers do a lot of times. And they're relying on third-party vendors to kind of provide that level of cybersecurity understanding and support. And so it becomes, you know, kind of a cat and mouse game.
Yeah, because it's the same thing, you know, that we talked about many times is they're buying it from somebody else.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, and so you've got to understand that, you know, their only knowledge of it is much more limited than you would think. And it's only because, you know, the IT companies tend to be, you know, we have been for decades now, the ones that could protect your business.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's so complicated. You know, it's just another item on the list of why I got out of that business. And I feel sorry for you, David. But Verint, you know, being one of those folks, they did address it quickly. And they did publish a PR statement that said, "We quickly identified and remediated the attack. We fully restored our IT services in less than 24 hours without any impact to customers or partners." That's great. And it seems as though they were prepared. So, hello, incident response plan. They caught it. Oh, monitoring. Wow. And then they also were transparent about it. They didn't start trying to hide it. They just came right out and said, here's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, this is a good thing, but it also points out, you know, it can happen to anybody and you better be prepared, because that good news that these folks did, even though they were hit, is really different than the next story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which the next story is the one that really prompted this entire episode, because it continues to be, and by the time this episode comes out, there's going to be even more information that comes out about this one, I'm sure. I've been trying to wait until I felt like we had, you know, more details, because it's quite tricky, and it's a company called Wipro. We think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, Wipro. Wipro.
Wipro, Wipro. It's in India, and here is why you need to be aware of who may be outsourcing things. We're not saying don't outsource overseas. We're saying be aware of it and plan for it appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
Therein lies the problem. So we always ask, do you outsource anything overseas? And if so, I want to know a little bit more about how you made your decisions about vendors and what you plan on doing and what's in your contracts.
Yeah, this is not a small company. I mean, they have like 170,000 employees across six continents. I mean, they're huge.
Mm-hmm. And they're IT outsourcing and consulting, a giant managed service provider, but they also do like coding and, you know, those kind of implementation projects. You know, but they're talking about they're an $8 billion company. And this is what drives me nuts, is the overconfident technical people. You know they're in there somewhere. Yeah. And you and I both know that this is has something to play in what's going on. And Krebs on Security, which is one of our, you know, favorite blogs we follow, and he has a huge following, and usually his sources are spot on, and you can always count on what he's saying. That's why we love paying attention to what he's got to say. And he did the first story April 15th, and here was the way that the article began. You want to read it, David?
Sure.
You do that.
So his article begins, "Earlier this month, Krebs on Security heard independently from two trusted sources that Wipro, India's third largest IT outsourcing company, was dealing with a multi-month intrusion from an assumed state-sponsored attacker." Assumptions. Both sources, who spoke on condition of anonymity, said Wipro's systems were seen being used as jumping-off points for digital phishing expeditions targeting at least a dozen Wipro customer systems. The security expert said Wipro's customers traced malicious and suspicious network reconnaissance activity back to partner systems that were communicating directly with Wipro's network.
See, I had you do that so I could clear my throat, take a drink of water. So it sounds like, you know, when you read that, that it was, you know, their customers saw someone doing reconnaissance on their network and traced it back to Wipro's network.
Mm-hmm. That's what it sounds like.
And that is not how you want to learn that you've got a problem.
No.
No. So I started following all the twists and turns, and there were article after article. You know, of course, this spurred articles and everybody else reaching out to their sources, trying to, you know, get information. And Krebs was, you know, trying to get information directly from the company, which, you know, they would be the ones who would know.
Yeah, you think.
And they basically blew him off until he followed the story for days before he published, because he kept trying to get information from them, and they would just give him, you know, standard, here's our security quotes, and or nothing. You know, they just were gone. Never mind.
Yeah.
So you know something's wrong, because he kept hearing from more sources.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept ignoring things. And his other sources came in and said, you know, we know people that are involved in the forensics at one of the customers, which, again, these are the ones that found it. And they said at least 11 other companies were attacked. And file folders were on intruders' back-end infrastructure named after various WIPRO clients.
Ooh, that's not good.
No. That means they took them.
Yeah.
They said that WIPRO is now in the process of building out a brand new private email network because the intruders were thought to have compromised corporate email systems for some time.
Mm.
Then that scream of phishing.
Yeah.
And that now, supposedly, WIPRO at this point was then telling their clients about specific, quote, indicators of compromise, which were the clues that you should look for that the bad guys had. And it was all of these URLs that had WIPRO in them that were fake.
Huh.
Yeah. So what? Nope. You know, they just send out, check for these indicators of compromise. when you have a minute.
Yeah.
You know, look and see. It's like, you know, let me call up the bank and say, you know, a whole bunch of banks have been broken into and nobody saw them break in. So when you have a minute,
go check your vault.
Look at your vault and see if it, you know, if the door's been ripped off, maybe. I don't
know. Well, the fact that they're, you know, they're redoing some of their platform suggests that the problem is pretty severe.
Yeah, widespread. But again, these are from sources because the company isn't really saying much.
That's why they're not saying much.
And they did publish something, you know, in the India media. But again, they published it in the India media, and they have six continents. We're not reading the India news. We clearly should start.
Apparently.
But, you know, why are they working so hard to keep it a secret? You know, that alone is concerning. And then you read more about it, and Krebs reported that, you know, he was talking about various sketchy things from a business standpoint. And then the one, of course, that stood out to me was, you know, of all these disputes and lawsuits about their work and all of that, one of it involved the state of Nebraska's Medicaid enrollment project or something was abruptly canceled last year, their contract.
Mm-hmm.
How come? You know, they claim that they're suing Nebraska for cutting them off, saying that they were meeting their guidelines. So that's healthcare. Yep. They're in healthcare, and they're in healthcare in the United States. Anyone? How long did this thing go on? Did it go on while they were in there messing around with the state of Nebraska's Medicaid system?
Lots of questions.
I know, right?
Yeah. Well, they did eventually, you know, fess up to it. And
a little.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, well, yeah, we did have some, I like the way they put it, an advanced phishing campaign. not a basic one. It was advanced.
It had to be really tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Against a few employees, not all of them.
Yeah. We just had to rebuild our whole email system because it was really advanced and only a few.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to say? Like, we got a really easy phishing campaign hit us and we still fell for it.
You know, we just talked about, though, you know, they recognized it. They took care of it at Variant. And these guys, it's, you know, what they have is a failure to communicate. Cool Hand Luke, man. So I see this as we totally screwed up. So we don't want to tell anybody anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and you might say that they're attempting to minimize a major issue, which is hard to do. So then we get into a little bit more of the story and the investigation into the breach by a third-party company has determined so far the intruders compromised more than 100 Wipro systems and installed on each of them a program called Screen Connect, which is, it's a legitimate tool.
Yeah, it is. I mean, IT companies use that all the time.
Yeah. It's done by a company called ConnectWise, which is a huge name in the managed service offerings.
Yep.
And yeah, you can tell us a little bit more about that whole thing and where ConnectWise, you may have heard us talk about that before.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, I mean, we do use ConnectWise, but ConnectWise has multiple different modules. So, you know, they have a module for doing ticketing and managing the business. And then they have another module, which is Screen Connect. So it allows you remote access and remote support. And then they have another module for writing proposals and all that. So fortunately, we didn't have the Screen Connect. However, I mean, they do offer two-factor authentication type services to tie into that. So, you know, these things were probably not turned on.
Well, but it says, you know, it sounds like they may have compromised it and then loaded Screen Connect to use it.
Yeah.
Or it could be that they were already on there. We don't know because, again, they're being so forthcoming. But they believe that the intruders were using this on the hacked systems and then using that to remotely connect to the Wipro client systems. Then they leveraged that even further down the line on those customer networks. So there you go. They were connecting. And there's a lot of speculation that this was a Chinese-type attack. Who knows? Generally, at this point, it's Chinese or North Korean, occasionally Russian. It depends on what's going on that most people assume they're involved. So they come in, hit the company in India, and then use that to launch into a company, let's just say 12 companies somewhere else in the world. And they probably have multiple locations, which they may have even been able to launch into from there.
Right.
And it could have happened in seconds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've talked before about it doesn't take long for these things to happen.
Mm-mm. And you know, we did see articles after, you know, because, again, everybody's warning the MSP vendors that they are targets by, you know, nation-state attacks because I'm going to get in there just to see where else I can go. I want to see who your clients are. So if you bill yourself as a big IT provider and everybody wants to say, well, we're big in the financial industry or healthcare or whatever, and so then they go and actively try to break in because they want to then see what they can get to that are your clients. And you know, everybody that's an MSP should be taking this very seriously and upping everything, monitoring closely, because the, well, the article, another article I saw, the Wipro breach and how to stay protected when your managed service provider gets hacked.
Yeah.
You want your clients bringing that to you, David? You prepared to answer that question?
No, but no. And, you know, this does speak to keeping up with what your vendors are doing, but you also want, like I know, for example, ConnectWise CEO did come out with, you know, defending their security stance, you know, and all that. But I would, what I'd like to see is I'd like to see more IT vendors. And I'm not talking about the MSPs. I'm talking about the vendors of MSPs. I'd like to see them being more proactive about their security stance and not waiting on an incident like this to happen.
Right. Be out there saying, here's how you secure our products.
Right. Yes. Here's how we actively how you secure it. Yes. And because what happens is if I have a client come to me and we're addressing these things, then I have to call vendors or look for white papers or whatever. And it's, you know, you trying to find something in a haystack. It's not sometimes not even there. They don't talk about their security. They just say, "Hey, we're super secure." Okay, great. Can you give me a little bit more than that? Not asking you how you do it necessarily, but I need to know something more about what you're doing to protect me and protect my clients that I'm bringing in and connecting to your systems in some way.
Well, and you know, there's things. This is one of the things, like when we're doing our assessments, and we'll say to a practice, "What EHR vendor do you use, and have you reviewed all of their security settings to make sure you know how yours are set up?"
Mm-hmm.
Crickets, crickets, crickets. Anyone? And it's the same kind of thing that you would expect. You know, we say, look, if we already have the list based on what version you're on and what vendor, which a lot of times, you know, we will, because we've been asking this question for a while, then we can check. And it's not an occasional thing that we learn about security settings that were added on after they originally set up their, you know, instance. And then it was put out there. It was just put out there. That, hey, we've added this new security feature, but if you want it, you have to go turn it on.
Yeah.
You know, and here's how you do it. Instead, they say, oh, we've got a new security feature. Awesome. And so when somebody asks, yeah, look, we even have this now, which is exactly what you're talking about. The client comes to you and says, you're secure. And you go ask your vendor, you secure? And the vendor says, yeah, we're secure. You turn around and say, yep, we're secure.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you want them to say? No, we actually suck at security, but
that's right. But go ahead and use this anyway.
Right. You know, but I do realize that, you know, security is definitely a moving target, and it never stops. You have to constantly apply practice and best practices and everything into that program. And that's, you know, one of the fights that you and I have a lot with our clients is it's not a one and done. It's, you know, you're having to change what you're doing from a cultural standpoint around privacy and security.
Mm-hmm. And you know, now they just came out this week. Forbes has a whole article about this case. So now it's getting out into the business, not just the technical, you know. Up until now, it's been mostly in, you know, the blogs and stuff that are geared towards nerds like us.
Mm-hmm.
But then I see it come over here into Forbes. Okay, that's not just for nerds. That is big business discussions. And they are trying to explain to people that this is a big, you know, almost like this is a signal that you should be really starting to pay attention to these supply chain security issues. And, you know, when you read that article and there's a big debate about, oh, well, this just shows why you can't outsource overseas. Okay. I think it's complicated, but there's ways and you need to stay on top of it. But, you know, you could do that because you hire, I got a guy.
Oh, yeah.
For your IT. It's no different than I just outsource my transcription to India because it's cheap and I don't ask them any questions.
Yeah. I mean, we're in a global economy. Definitely when you're in technology, it is a global market. So the answer is not you can't be global. You have to be, you know, everything's got to be in the same city. Yeah. Or in the same building even. I mean, it's hard to do. It's extremely hard to do. And when you have other vendors involved, oftentimes you don't know exactly. You might be dealing with a U.S. vendor who is then dealing with an overseas vendor.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Yes.
And you want to know if it's happening. You don't, you know, I recommend smaller groups try to stay away from it because there's too much to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, they're also the ones that want to save the money. So, you know, it's a give and take. You've got to monitor them more. It's kind of like, you know, well, we're going to hire the kids right out of school because we don't have to pay them as much as the ones that have experience, right? But what does that mean? Well, I've got to teach them and I got to keep an eye on them, and they don't know how to respond to people. They, you know, I always tell them, when you get out of college, all you did was get a nice new pair of shoes to run the race. You're not in shape yet. You don't even know what the course is. It's really long and it never ends. You've got to figure all that out.
Yeah.
But your shoes are pretty.
For now.
Yeah, they're the coolest kicks anybody's got around here. All of ours are ragged. Yeah. So, yeah, it's so interconnected. And, you know, sometimes you might be losing out on a really good solution that does have overseas connections.
Now,
still going to check into it. But that whole thing of it doesn't matter to me if a Chinese or North Korean hacker hits a company in India that does tech support. It could very well mean you're being hacked right now.
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't even know it. I know. Anywhere in the world, because, you know, the elbow, you know, what is it? The arm bone's connected to the neck bone and the
yeah, I don't know.
I don't either. But now, you know, I'm working out a whole song that we're going to come up with that, you know, firewall's connected to the printer.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, you know, yeah, we're gonna have to come up with a whole new song. I've just decided I'm gonna work on the lyrics. I will probably not sing it.
Oh, come on!
I'm working on the lyrics now. Oh, and you know, shout out to speaking of creating new things for the podcast. Shout out to Alex for messing with David.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
It was awesome. I see it. I think it's hysterical. I love it. I send it out to everybody to check it out. He had misspelled HIPAA and said, thanks, help me with HIPAA, but misspelled it. I thought it was hysterical. David's like, oh no, he's misspelled it. Please don't have our name with that.
My eyes started twitching. I couldn't even speak straight. I was stuttering in my email. Did you see that? He misspelled it.
Krista on my team was like, we've got to get this away from anything that's associated with us.
I reached out to him on LinkedIn. He's like, I finally got your attention. Like, I had no idea you were trying to get my attention. There's other ways you can do it.
Don't make my email twitch.
I know.
Well, and we also have a shout out to Chris, your conversation.
Yeah. So, I had a conversation with Chris Dix, and last week's episode, he actually called me before last week's episode came out. And he's talking to me about putting camera systems in like an elderly care facility. I'm like, wait a minute. We didn't produce that episode yet. You listen to that first and then we'll have a conversation. but no, that's not what I told you. But anyway, I am getting dragged apparently into that conversation faster than I thought I would be. So I'm trying to figure out how to make that happen. Well, then he
saw we're shutting it down.
Oh, yeah. So that's where you were going with that. I missed it.
Yeah, thanks for going there, buddy.
Yeah. So anyway, okay. So just forget everything I just said. So Chris, in the same call about that, he says, dude, you guys scared the crap out of me last week. And I saw the title of your episode was We're Shutting It Down. And he's like, then I go and listen to it. In the first few minutes, you guys are like reminiscing about things in the podcast. And he's like, oh my God, they're shutting it down. It's like you went.
Giving him a panic attack.
I know. But went into a conniption fit.
So, well, it was David's idea to name it that, which I did agree was funny, and then had to use the picture that says business closed.
Yeah, that might be why we had so many listeners this week.
I know, right? Yeah. Okay, we'll take it away if you don't listen. If you don't listen and share it, we're taking it away.
That's right. You don't know what you got till it's gone.
All right. So I think we should close it up now that we've wandered off into our own little rabbit hole.
Absolutely.
But you can bet that YPro, they're going to have a reputation issue.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a publicly traded company, so we're going to see how that works. And if you're a vendor, you need to be paying attention, and you need to start, like David said, get your vendors to provide more support to you to make sure you're doing everything possible to prevent these kind of things from happening.
Mm-hmm. That's what I said. That's our show for today, folks. Remember to follow us and share us on your favorite social media site. Now I understand why people don't follow us. We just go down too many rabbit holes.
You can't follow them that far.
You can't. I know. It's like I can't do it. Rate us on our podcasting app or even yours, and help us spread the word about our podcast. And always remember that HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.